So my name is Bricia Trejo, and I'm going to be presenting preliminary outcomes to Boston's Healthy Start and Housing Program, which is a pilot program that was intended to improve birth outcomes among homeless and pregnant women in Boston. I'd like to first acknowledge the team of researchers, Debbie Allen, who couldn't be here, who's the head of the Family, Adolescent, and Child Health Bureau at Boston Public Health Commission. My colleague Sandra Ferreira, who's actually here in the audience, and Ning Chen, who's our data analyst, and Emily Feinberg, who's the PI on the evaluation of this project. And this is my disclosure slide. So just a little bit of background about the problem of homelessness in the nation. Last month, the Department of Housing and Urban Development released its annual report to Congress, which was reporting on homelessness across the nation and found that since 2007, homelessness has decreased by 11% nationally. And compared to in Massachusetts, where we've actually seen a 40% increase since 2007, and this increase has been largely due to homelessness among individuals and families, which is defined as anyone who's part of a household where there's at least one adult and one child. So the number of individuals and families who are homeless has actually more than doubled since 2007, from a number of about 6,500 to 14,000 this year. So this obviously carries huge implications when we're talking about health. And homelessness among mothers is linked to poor physical health, depression, and heightened unmet need for health services. In terms of child outcomes, we're looking at lower birth weight, prematurity, and developmental delay. And actually, research has shown that the effects of homelessness on birth outcomes match or outweigh those of other established risk factors, such as smoking and alcohol use. So as a result of this greater appreciation for social determinants on health, the Healthy Start and Housing Program, which is a collaboration between the Boston Public Health Commission and Boston Housing Authority, was developed, and the goal was to improve birth outcomes and improve the long-term health of mother, infants, and families. And the program hoped to do this by providing priority access to public housing to women who were homeless and pregnant and met certain eligibility criteria, which I will go over soon. It also provided intensive case management, and this was provided by the Boston Public Health Commission's Nurse Visiting Program. Nurses were specifically trained to deal with issues around homelessness. One of the trainings included a training on brief cognitive behavioral therapy problem-solving education, which we call PSE. And this is a training that specifically helps women work out and identify and solutions to everyday problems with the goal of improving their self-efficacy and their problem-solving skills. So this is some of the program eligibility. Women had to meet certain medical risk criteria, and that was broken down into three categories. They either had to have a condition that predisposed them to a poor birth outcome, so this included hypertension, diabetes, things like that, and then, or they had to have experienced a prior adverse birth outcome, so a NICU stay of more than 5 days, three or more pregnancy losses, or premature birth, low birth weight birth, or they had to have a child under five with a chronic health condition, so this included things such as ASD or cerebral palsy. Women also had to demonstrate housing need, and this was broken down into two categories. They either had to be housing insecure, which meant being doubled up or paying a disproportionate amount of their income towards rent, or they could be experiencing direct homelessness, so that's sheltered or unsheltered homelessness. Women also had to prove Boston residency for 3 years and had to have no disqualifying criminal history. And so for those women who did screen in, they were invited to three workshops where the Boston Public Health Commission staff helped them through the application process, the Boston Housing Authority application process, which is a lengthy application. Once the applications were submitted, they were invited to interview with Boston Housing Authority, and then their eligibility was further checked by the agency to make sure that they met all the requirements. And then the final step was a housing decision, which we hoped was a housing assignment, but sometimes was not the case. The average time between referral and screening to housing assignment was about 7.5 months, which is compares to the normal wait time, which is about 7 to 10 years on these housing waiting lists. So it was a rapid prioritized access to housing. Most referrals were coming from home visiting programs and health facilities. And the total number of women referred to date has been 404. About half of them have screened in. And the top reason for women screening out has been that they did not have any qualifying medical condition, or they were located outside of Boston, so they could not prove the 3-year Boston residency. To date, 84 women have been awarded housing, and of those, 32 have graduated from the program. So this means that they were making the rent payments on time, and they were independently and successfully working towards their long-term goals. Unfortunately, we had 4 women who dropped out of the program. That was 3 of them vacated their unit for various reasons, and there was 1 VHA eviction. In terms of demographics of the women who are currently active in the program, we're seeing an average age about 26 years, and women self-identify mostly as mixed race. There's 30% of them speak a language other than English, 41% born outside of the U.S., a small percentage are married or living with a partner, and then the average number of other children is less than 1. In terms of their mental and physical health characteristics, about 2/3 of them were scoring more, so 16 or above on the CSD, which is a measure that tracks depressive symptoms. And so this is actually greater than what we see in a sample of an average population, where we're seeing about between 9 and 12% of people scoring above a 16. About 50% experienced a traumatic life event, and of those, 63% had scores indicating possible diagnosis post-traumatic stress disorder. And in terms of the C scores for the measure we used was an SF-12, which is measuring physical and mental functioning. We're seeing a more than a standard deviation, a difference between a normal population in mental functioning. So they had less mental functioning than normal population. In terms of their eligibility criteria, 51% of women had a medical condition that was associated with an adverse birth outcome, 57% had a mental health condition, and 12% had experienced a prior adverse perinatal outcome. And there was various women who had a mix of these conditions that had various risks, medical risks. In terms of their housing at intake, 42% were staying in a place but not paying rent, so they were staying with family or friends but could not afford to pay a portion of the rent. 23% were a shelter or other homeless program. 1/4 of them were renting but were in unstable situations, and then 10% were either in a hotel, motel, or other, which were categories such as living with a partner or living in the streets or a place not intended for housing. So although only 25% were in a shelter at baseline, when we asked women if ever in their lifetime they had been homeless, and the definition being either staying in a shelter or a place not intended for housing, we had 62% of them say that they had ever in their lifetime experienced this. And about 50% of them said that it was more than once. We also looked into housing barriers, and just as a note, these questions were actually taken from a larger survey, national survey, that was done by ABS Associates. So we're hoping to compare this to kind of national estimates. So we asked women the barriers they were facing to accessing housing, and most of them, 93%, said that not having enough income to pay rent, deposit, first and last month's rent was a big problem in them accessing housing. And just to put it in context, in Massachusetts, in order for a family to rent a 2-bedroom apartment, they must have approximately 2.7 full-time minimum wage jobs. Boston is actually the 3rd most expensive metropolitan city in the U.S. And we also looked at the effects of the program on health outcomes, specifically mental and physical health, problem-solving skills, and parenting practices that promote healthy child development. And this is really thanks to the leadership at the Boston Public Health Commission, who recognized the need for careful evaluation of the program's impacts. The evaluation was in the form of four in-person interviews with participants at baseline 5 months, 9 months, and 12 months. And preliminary data from 54 of the participants who to date have completed 9 months of follow-up have demonstrated moderate improvements in depressive symptoms, physical health, and mental health. And so something really interesting, which isn't on the slide, is that when we're looking at 12 months of follow-up, we're kind of seeing that the depressive scores kind of go back up a little bit. So it's not really just a regression to mean that we're seeing at 9 months. There's something else going on there. So that'll be interesting to look at once we have more data. And so just to conclude, while we're still analyzing data, we think that this is an example of a successful collaboration between a housing authority, a local public health authority, and an academic partner, and the academic partner being Boston University and as lead evaluator of this program. We were able to engage participants in this outcome evaluation and obtain follow-up rates of above 85%. And thanks to this, we've actually also been able to leverage additional funds from the Department of Housing and Urban Development to recruit and follow a group of women who were not eligible for the program. This is going to allow us for a more rigorous outcome evaluation to be able to assess program impacts. The team is also exploring ways to increase eligibility. So one of the things we saw was that a lot of the women who were deemed ineligible were actually also obviously had great need, and we weren't able to provide that. So the team is looking for ways to expand this eligibility, but also expand the availability of units in the city of Boston for this population. And we really think that this is a promising program model to improve birth outcomes through a housing intervention. And I'd like to acknowledge the women who took part in this evaluation, because it was a very lengthy evaluation. It usually took between 1 and 2 hours. And we were going into their homes and asking them very personal questions. And then also the staff at the Boston Public Health Commission and the Boston Housing Authority, who have been committed to this evaluation and assessing program impacts. Thank you.